The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. As Jesus passed by, he saw a blind man from birth. He spat on the ground and made clay with his saliva and smeared the clay on his eyes and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back able to see. His neighbors and those who had seen him earlier as a beggar said, "Isn't this the one who had used to sit and beg?" Someone said, "It is," but others said, "No, it just looks like him." He said, "I am." They brought the one who was once blind to the Pharisees. Now Jesus had made clay and opened his eyes on the Sabbath. So when the Pharisees had asked him how he was able to see, he said to them, "The man put clay in my eyes, and I washed, and now I can see." So some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a sinful man do such things?" There was division among them. And they said to the blind man again, "What do you have to say about him since he opened your eyes?" And he said, "He is a prophet." They answered to him and said, "You were born totally in sin, and now you're trying to teach us?" And they threw him out. When Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, he found him and said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And he answered, "Who is he, sir, that I might believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him. It is the one you are speaking to." He said, "I do believe, Lord." And he worshiped him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. There are many dark things and places in this world that are made often to seem good. There are many deceits and lies and even anti-Christian messages that have become mainstream. People believe things not because they were taught them, but because they were conformed and exposed to them through whatever means is available. When I was growing up, we had TV, radio, video games, VCR movies. Remember those things? It's a little different today. Yeah, I remember being excited about every year at school we would get this little like flyer that had magazines that you could buy a subscription for, and it was like magazines were cool. No more. It would seem that in every time and place and decade of history, darkness and evil and many things can deceive us. They can and will find a way. This man was condemned, this man in the gospel, this blind man. He was condemned to the identity of a sinner simply because he was born blind. And also his parents, maybe they were sinners because he was blind. Now, in today's world, that sounds odd, maybe ignorant. Certainly, they know that just some people are born this way. But they didn't understand that in the time of Jesus. So if you were born blind, then you were born a sinner. Of course, over time, things change. And we could ask ourselves, what changes the world? What changes our struggle from being blind to the constant noise of this modern world into children of the light? Of course, it is, I hope we know that it is the face of Jesus. These questions come up in this gospel. Do you really believe in the Son of Man? Or do you just believe in whatever you want? You've heard of the term the fog of war. For some reason, I was reading and praying with this gospel, and this term came to my mind, the fog of war. So I looked up the definition, and it's interesting what I found. One of the definitions is, it's the uncertainty of situational awareness that comes up in a military operation. They call that uncertainty the fog of war sometimes. And how do you lift the fog? Well, you gain knowledge. You prepare. You train. You also have intelligence. You have things to help you, like technology. You learn about your opponent, the terrain in which they live, in which you will be engaging in this operation. You gain as much information and knowledge as you can. And then you begin to lift the fog, and you can see clearly the objective. And I thought, well, that's exactly the image and analogy that we should be using for sin and what sin does to our lives, to our ability to see, to our ability to recognize if it's Jesus or if it's something else that we're following. In our world, there are so many dark places. We struggle with many sins. There are so many dangers. There is fog constantly. And we have to lift that fog. We do that through all the things that we know help us to grow closer in relationship with the Lord. Jesus can light up and bring clarity and freedom and healing to our souls. Once you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Let Jesus fill you with his eternal love. Let him root out that sin. Let him lift the fog so we can see clearly the road to heaven. The past couple of years in the Archdiocese, we have designated a particular Sunday to speaking about, in particular, the dangers of pornography in our society. Pornography creates a dense and very evil fog, if you will, in our society, in our world, in individuals' lives. We've been calling this Safe Haven Sunday, because we want to not only talk about the dangers of this, but also what are the ways we can create a place in our homes that are safe from the dangers of this, for our children, for ourselves. I could offer a lot of statistics and many arguments. I hope that by now you understand that this struggle with pornography is a great scourge in our world. It is one of the most addictive areas of life that I know of today. It is far more addictive than any drug. I'm convinced of that. It actually affects the brain in the same way drugs like heroin or methamphetamine do. And it makes a person crave, badly crave, pornography. It's the most common sin in any confessional today. I can't say any more about that, but just trust me. And it affects so many things. It can destroy our ability to understand and have good relationships with people. But I would also say that pornography is a byproduct of a society that has lost sight of the love of God and how powerful God's love can be to heal us and to help us find another way. Because we turn to things like pornography due to the fact that so many people are lost, are struggling with loneliness, stress, and over these last few years, all of these things like anxiety have only intensified in our world. And so has the addiction to these things. So God is crying out for us to turn to Him with our whole heart. We've fallen into an abyss of sorts of self-love, and that it's hard to see God in the fog. So I want to urge parents this weekend in particular, but all people, all individuals, couples, anyone, take action in protecting yourselves, your families, your children. We live in a over-sexualized world. Images are used to sell, promote, and trap our human ability to make decisions, a good moral decision. We believe now that sex is leisure and that it's not really a big deal. It's no big deal. That it can be used in any form, and that people involved in this world are not subjects. They're created in the image and likeness of God. They become objects that I can use for myself. And this is a great blindness. It's a great inability to see. It happens in many ways. It is the essence. This inability to see, this inability to treat every person as a human person, it comes up in so many different ways. It's the essence of any form of prejudice in the world. It's about power preying on the weak. It's about things like money, which the scriptures say is the root of all evil, being the object of moral decision making. So as long as I can make enough money, then I can justify what I'm doing. Money is the good, not persons. It is about the human person and the human body being used for empty pleasure. And we see it in many things, not just pornography, abortion, infanticide, sex trafficking, abuse of every kind, whatever kind of evil you can think of. It is the result of a culture of death, or what Pope Francis calls a throwaway culture that has lost meaning and purpose. So what does St. Paul then teach us today? He says, take no part in fruitless works of darkness, but instead expose them to the light of truth. Don't let them remain in darkness. Bring into the light these things into the light of the Lord. And in fact, if you find yourself in the darkness of sin, whether it be pornography or any other kind of attachment to sin, one of the great ways, the best ways to break free is to bring it to the light. You bring it to the light to God in the confessional. You bring it to light to those who trust that can help you. You bring it to light so that you can find peace. Find Jesus in prayer. Find counseling and help. Find peace in God. Each year we have passed out these different books. This is the different books here in the back of the church and on the window seals. There's this book this year. I encourage you to take one, especially families with young children, but also any individual. There's a lot of wonderful information and help and thoughts on this struggle. There's a great tool for parents and all individuals. It's a tool that you can place on any smartphone or tablet or computer. It's called Covenant Eyes, and there's information about Covenant Eyes in this book that I encourage you to take. Covenant Eyes is a way to help with the temptation that comes from devices like those phones and tablets, those things in our pockets, that idol there in our pocket that sometimes can get us in trouble. It also, what Covenant Eyes does is it incorporates accountability, because you have to have one or two persons with you, partnering with you in this, to help you in the struggle. The reality is, when it comes to desiring freedom and to walk as children of the light, in any sin, we have to be there for each other. We have to ask each other to pray. Pray for me. Pray with me. I was listening. Have you ever listened to Father John Ricardo on Catholic radio or anywhere? He always, whenever I listen to him, he always says something that goes, I got to change something now. But he was talking about prayer, and he said, you know, sometimes we'll talk to each other and we'll say, hey, pray for me for this. And you'll say, sure, I'll pray for you sometime when I'm praying. Or you'll ask for prayers. Please pray for me. And that person will be like, okay. And then they'll walk off. And you're like, all right, thanks. Whenever you do that, please do. That can be good. We want to pray for each other. But the encouragement was, when someone asks for prayers or you ask someone for prayer, do it right then, in that moment. Pray with each other right there. It's powerful. It's scary. We don't always know what to say. But that doesn't matter. Any words of that prayer can be powerful. It can be healing for you, for that person. It can bring to light the things we need to bring to Jesus. Because what do we want most of all in all of this? We want freedom from sin and eternity with our Heavenly Father. Today is Laetare Sunday. That's why I'm wearing this rose vestment. Today we rejoice. Laetare means to rejoice in the love of Jesus, who restores our life, sets us free, heals our wounds, and helps us to proclaim, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Son of God, the Savior of the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.